So in the midst of my adventure, a lot of it I was, you know, spending time doing ministry, but then also just spending time just getting in God's word and going, God, what do you want to do with me now? What do you want to do with me in the next season? And let me encourage you, if you get nothing else out of this morning, having a greater awareness of God's nearness in your life and being active in your faith to actually draw near to him in that, let me encourage you, you'll grow in Christ as you do that. If you intentionally press into the word of God in prayer, in fellowship, in evangelism, do the things that God has commissioned us to do and asked us to do as his disciples. Not just to have conceptual understanding of things, but an active faith to step into it boldly. So Derwent Valley Campus, we're going to do, this is going to be like Inception. This is like a visual TV thing where you're then going to be looking at more TV things. So it's like a TV inside a TV inside a TV. It's going to be, did anyone remember that movie Inception? Anyway, so we've got some few photos here. Harrison has been busy loading up stuff this morning, and let's give a round of applause to Harrison. Doing an awesome job, and Alex and Paul's team of minions up the back, they're doing a brilliant job. This was me underwater in Vietnam, so you guys thought it was like some cool photo. There we go. This is a snake from India. Let's get those lights down so that the camera can see probably more clearly. You'll just hear a voice in the darkness. I feel like God in Genesis 1. So I said feel. I'm not saying I am. I am. Anyway, this is an Indian cobra. So when I was in Agra, where the Taj Mahal is, this snake charmer came up to me. He was like, oh, look at these snakes. And he was trying to thrust these cobras into my face, which was slightly concerning. I saw the way that he was interacting with them. He was like, just like grabbing them and moving them around and stuff. And I was like, well, if he can do that, surely, you know, I can get in there. So I was just trying to give him a kiss on the back of the head. I managed to plant a couple on the back of the cobras, which I thought, I was like, you know, look how courageous I am. I kissed a venomous snake. But then what they actually do, or a lot of the snake charmers do, they actually remove the fangs and the venom glands of the cobra, which is quite a cruel thing to do to a snake. So let me encourage you, don't ever endorse that practice. But it made me also think that in the Bible, we read about snakes, particularly in the book of Genesis. We read a story about how the devil comes up to Adam and Eve in what form? Serpent, snake, serpent. Maybe not an Indian cobra. Maybe, I'm not sure. But he comes up and speaks a little bit of half truth. He speaks a little bit of a lie. He mixes this concoction of that's venomous, poisonous for our spirituality, and he dishes it up to Eve, and Eve takes it in when she bites the fruit in obedience to the serpent rather than in obedience to what God says. And Adam then follows suit, as any husband should with his wife. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. Just stirring the pot. But he heard, he saw what Eve did and was like, all right, I'll jump into it. Rightio, let's do this together. And then sin comes into the world. It's a horrible situation. But when I was thinking about this situation, they'd actually removed the fangs, removed the venom glands of this snake. Do you know that when the devil comes to us now, we can go, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? Because Jesus has trampled on the enemy. He's trampled on the devil. And what the enemy, as we declared in this space here today in our time of worship, what the enemy intended for evil, God can work it for good. So if there's some attack that is coming your way and you're like, well, that didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, let me encourage you by faith, trust God, knowing that he is the God who can work things that seemed or intended for evil and work it for good, that the enemy can continue to speak lies and try to be, you know, aggressive and dangerous, but he's had his fangs removed. He's had his venom glands removed. He can't actually kill you because in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ we're more than conquerors. In Christ we share in his victory. Amen? Are you encouraged that in Christ we're victorious? Yeah? How good is that? So next time you see an Indian cobra, find out if its venom glands have been removed first before you try to kiss it. Otherwise, you might have to go to the hospital. Let's go to another photo. This is me with my boy Satongo. So Satongo, I've been sponsoring him for approximately 9 years, I think it is now. He's in Uganda, and he's there with his auntie in a little house. And his house actually has, I think I have another photo of this, but we'll keep Satongo up there for a little bit. His house has like 3 rooms, but one of the internal walls is sort of caved in. So the roof has fallen in. So they're actually using one of the 3 rooms in their small house that is literally similar to like a backyard shed, but without any flooring. So they're using 1 room instead of the 3 rooms that are available. So anyway, I'm probably actually going to do a GoFundMe page in the next little bit and try to raise some money to fix his house. So if you're moved by his story, like I've been talking to the mission over there with Compassion in Uganda, and I need to find out how much it's going to cost. I think it's going to cost probably about $1,500 to fix his house. So he's got 3 rooms instead of 1 room. But he's about 17. He wants to become a gardener or a farmer, sorry. He just loves agriculture and wants to plant tomatoes and do that sort of stuff. And I was like, that's awesome, Satongo. It's like, what a great thing to do, growing stuff in the garden. So anyway, that's Satongo. And it was so awesome to be able to spend time with him, his auntie, and with the Compassion project there in Uganda, in Kampala. It's such an incredible part of the world. And let me encourage you, if you've got sponsored children through Compassion or Watoto, I got to visit Watoto Church whilst I was there as well. What they do is brilliant. It's so Christ-centered. It's so church-partnered. It's not just we're trying to meet needs physically, which they are, but additionally, they're making sure that the foundation of their life isn't built on the material things or the educational things, but it's built on Christ. And that's something I think we can all continue to recenter our lives to, that place of building our lives on Christ. So this is his house. As you see, they've put a makeshift roof over their 1 room. That's his auntie. And then this is actually meant to be a room as well, but it's just become a bit of a, I don't know, place where you just chuck bits and pieces. Instead of having a door, they've got a curtain, because every time they try to put a door in there, it just wouldn't shut properly. So it's not an ideal situation, but they love Jesus. They've got a local church family that they worship with and connect with as well. And it also makes you put things into perspective a bit, what we take for granted and think we need. And I'm not saying anything about, you know, having more than enough or being, you know, being blessed, but at the same time, true blessing doesn't come from material possessions. It comes from our positioning in Christ, which is a son and daughter of God. And it's amazing how some of the people I met in these communities were more happy than some of the young people that I've ministered to in youth ministries for the last decade. Because their security isn't in their stuff, but it's in Christ. So even though their house is falling down, it's like they love Jesus, and it makes a world of difference. Actually, I've got a little bag. I've got some stuff in here. I got this from South Africa, a bit of a Nelson Mandela bag. But I've got a few bits and pieces in here. So this is my show bag of bits and pieces. So I'm just thinking out loud. I might just give out a few bits and pieces. Have we got any kids still in here? No? They're all gone downstairs. Do you want one of those? This is a little purse from Uganda. Quite nice. You can... sorry, Derwent Valley crew, I can't pass this through the camera, but maybe I'll get something to bless you guys with as well. Does anyone want a Nepalese scarf? Yeah, you'd like one? All right. This is like first in, best dress. If you just lift your hand, you're going to get stuff. There you go, Nepalese scarf. You can wear that next week and Pastor Vivek will feel at home. What else have we got in this bag? Oh, we got some good stuff in here. Who likes durian? Lift up your hand if you like durian. Yeah, we got some people that love durian. So this is like a durian. That was pretty good. This is like a durian fudge. So I'm going to go along with these ones at the back. There we go. Try that. Oh, good catch. One hand extended the juke. What else have I got in here? Actually, I was going to give this to Shireen. So this is a nice fan I got from Vietnam. So I figured I've got to, you know, be nice to Caitlin's mum. It's probably a good thing as well. I bought this in Thailand. It's like a nice bookmark. Does anyone like reading? Actually, I'm going to give this to Sienna and something to your sister. Here you go. There was Mickey up here as well. Sorry, Mickey's not here, so she doesn't get one. Where is she? Oh, she is? Well, that's why she should be sitting in service. So, oh, burn. No, not really. I'm sure I've got something else. She can have a piece of durian stuff. There you go. Congratulations. Anyone like fridge magnets? Fridge magnet people? Jack collects them. Ready? That's one from India. Taj Mahal. You said Jack collects it? Yeah, we'll give one to Jack. Actually, we'll give him this Vietnam one because that looks cool. I reckon that's more. Actually, it looks a bit like Jack Mahal. Yeah. Who wants the Taj? Yeah, there you go. Welcome to our congregation, Tincha. It's been great having you and John with us. Anyone like snakes? Snake sticker. You got a boy that likes snakes and you're like, oh, that's sort of cool. Give it to your brother. There you go. You can give it to your brother. Give it to one of your brothers, okay? Oh, sorry. I just thought, I just like giving stuff. Is this okay? Is it okay to give bits and pieces to people? Who wants an elephant necklace? Going once. Oh, Sim, you get it. This one was from, I don't even know where I bought that. So I just kept on buying little bits and pieces, thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to bless someone with this. It's going to be fun. And then I just didn't know who to bless the rest of this stuff with. So I thought, I'm just going to bring it here and just bless people. And afterwards, who wants a zebra bag? I reckon Davide, you can get a zebra bag, man. You can share it with your girlfriend next year. I'm sure she'll love a zebra bag. So anyway, and Grant, you can have a cowrie shell necklace. Or bracelet, because I could see you rocking that in business meetings. and I'll take some stuff up to the Derwent Valley next time I'm up there. So anyway, more photos. What else we got? Oh, this guy. His name's Henry, which is the same name as my dad's name. So it was nice and easy to remember. Now, Henry, incredible story. He was at this mission called the Bushveld Mission. And I visited there for about 10, 11 days. Incredible ministry. It was like an orphanage, but they had about 60, 70 children. But there each morning they would feed the kids and they'd have times of prayer and worship. And the team was just so Christ-centered and just so trusting God with so many things. So a lot of the time they wouldn't even tell people about the needs that they had financially, but they would just be trusting it to God, going, God, we need this. And then all of a sudden, randomly, money would just appear in their mailbox and they'd open up their bank account and the stuff would appear. And just incredible people of faith. But Henry had an incredible testimony where all through his teenage years, he saw his sexuality as his identity. He had an attraction for people of his own gender. And when he came to Christ at around the age of 15, he was battling through that, and now he's about 25. He's now a pastor in the ministry, and he's got a fiance. And it was just incredible for him to say, look, no one tried to brainwash me to stop doing that stuff. I just continued to experience God's love and reading the word, and my heart changed. And I was just like, what? Like, he was sharing with this me. I mean, I just thought it was absolutely incredible to see how, like, he just loves Jesus, and that changed his life. Incredible testimony. I just was blown away when he sat down and shared with me his story, because I was just like, I hadn't heard someone share that story like he had before. So his name was Henry. Awesome guy. Who else have we got on here, Harrison? Oh, here's a couple of the kids from the Bushveld Mission. They loved stealing my sunglasses. I had like three pairs with me, and whilst I was there, I couldn't find all three of them for about 2 days. So, and Caitlin, my girlfriend, would be very appreciative of those other sunglasses. These ones here, have disappeared. They've remained in Africa because she thought they were hideous. So I thought they were really cool because they could flip them up and it was fun. And so did the kids. The kids thought it was cool. They understood how cool they were. But, you know, so that's children from the mission. Let's just keep on flicking through them. Here's Tembi. Tembi is from the mission as well. And Tembi is just like seriously one of the cutest little kids going around. He'd just come up to you and just be like, as you can see from that look, I was like, just hold that pose. Pretty sure it's not good for your back, but just hold that pose. I want to take that photo. Just a real cutie. That's Evangelist April. So Evangelist and I, so he was part of the mission team as well, went out on a couple of the weekends and just went and prayed for people in the community. We were even invited into a funeral, and at this funeral, all the family were gathered together and they were like this spirit of mourning, and as it is in that sort of environment. But they invited us in because just a bit of favor. Like we came in and said, look, we just want to love on you guys. Got everyone together, prayed with them, and just the spirit of God just fell in that room. About 30 odd family members, the peace of God. People were crying, but it was, instead of a presence of heaviness, it was replaced by this presence of just peace. And it was just the most beautiful thing. And we got to pray for some other people in the community, seeing back injuries healed and shoulder injuries healed. And seriously, God's moving powerfully. What we read in the Bible, it says, by his stripes we're healed. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That isn't just good theological concepts. They are commissions from God that we can walk in the authority of as children of God. And it's incredible to see what God is doing across South Africa. One of the main reasons I went there in the first place is because Lisa Harding mentioned how they were having prayer meetings in South Africa. And they would have like between 1.5 million to 3 million people turn up and just pray for their country. 3 million people coming together just to pray for the country. Not for a conference. Just to say, we're going to trust God at his word that if we, his people, humble ourselves in prayer, then maybe God will heal our land. So I honestly believe that where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And the overflow of what I'm seeing when I was over there wasn't just me. Obviously, I brought my faith to the table. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight. But it's the fact that people in Africa, in South Africa especially, are coming together in unity, saying, we can't do this in our own strength. It's only by God and his grace and his ability that we're going to see God move powerfully in our nation. So maybe we should start praying. We'll continue to pray and meet together and pray. But Evangelist April, awesome guy, awesome guy. That's just me climbing up a big rock wall. I just thought it was a very artistic photo. Wouldn't you agree, crew in the Derwent Valley? You would think to yourself, that looks like one of the cliffs at the Derwent River. Well, it isn't. It's actually from Hartie's Dam in South Africa, but looks similar, not the same. Sometimes in life you climb up things and you can make some cool spiritual metaphor for that. All right, let's go to the next photo. That's another kid from the mission, from the Bushveld mission. He just looked cute swinging on that swing, so I just snapped a photo of him. That's their dog. His name was Shorty. Shorty was half sausage dog, half Rottweiler. You might be thinking to yourself, which one was the mum? And how, if the dad was a sausage dog, geez, he's... It's like, how do you even do that? He was an incredible dog, though. He jumped up on me one day. He literally weighed like 45 kilos. I called him the bratwurst dog. He definitely wasn't like a typical sausage dog. Anyway, next one. This is from India. So in Delhi, I was walking through the old part of Delhi, and it was incredible. In this old part of Delhi, they just have all these merchants selling spices and stuff. And there was this one area where I swear for about 150 meters, everyone was just selling dried chilies. And because there were so many dried chilies in that space, the air was actually hot. Like, I'd just go, and your eyes would start to water. Like, there was so much chili in the air that I was like, oh my gosh, it's changed the atmosphere chili on the ground that changed the atmosphere of the air. And how cool would it be if us as the body of Christ had such, when we were together, that had such an impact that the atmosphere changed that you could go, God's presence is here. Actually, it says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. When God inhabits the praises of his people. And I think it's even more powerful than the spice of chilies in India. I know that's, you know, it's pretty spicy, pretty powerful, but God's power far surpasses that. But I just found that incredible. I was just walking through there like, this is an incredible thing. Let's jump to the next photo. Are you guys enjoying just doing a bit of photo time and just sharing spiritual thoughts? I've been gone for 6 months and I thought, oh, well, I could just randomly slip in stuff over the next year or two. But I thought, no, let's just do some show and tell. I crashed a scooter. I'm gonna actually preach a sermon on this at some stage called Read the Fine Print. That sermon cost me $800. It doesn't have to cost you anything. It's going to be powerful and convicting. But thankfully, I wasn't too injured. I ripped off some skin off my foot and bruised my inner thigh and my chest. Oh my gosh! Anyway, I pretty much okay. Just to let you know what happened, I wasn't on my phone. Okay, even though in Thailand that's okay. Like you just see people just like cruising along with a phone up to there. You might be thinking to yourself. Okay. I was parked, okay. I feel like I have to say it now. So they showed me how to start this, and I've ridden scooters multiple times in Queensland. I pretty much just had to twist a thing and it just kicked off and started going. This one you had to hold this brake, turn that accelerator at the same time whilst holding this brake and press the button below it. And I was just like, that's a very convoluted way of getting the thing going. Or maybe I didn't listen correctly. Probably that one. Read the fine print. So anyway, I'll preach a proper sermon on it at some stage. But the first couple of times I started it fine, but the third time I went to start it, I was like parked outside like the equivalent of a 7-Eleven. I mustn't have been holding the front brake. No, the back brake properly. And it was rear-wheel drive. So all of a sudden, the thing lifted up, but then my hand cocked. So I was like locked into it and just accelerated straight into a wall. And it like smashed. I can see Richie at the back going, never letting Dan drive my motorbike. Straight into the wall, and then it fell straight on top of me. So the moral of the story, kids, don't let Pastor Dan ride your motorbike. And write that down. Taking notes today. Or read the fine print and actually listen to instructions multiple times so you actually do the correct thing rather than just doing what you think is the correct thing, which I think many of us sometimes in the body of Christ can do. We can just go, oh, I didn't really hear it properly, but I'm just going to go out, and then we wonder why we get hurt. We wonder why things don't work out according to plan. Let's make sure we are, like the Bereans in Acts 17, you know, diligently studying the word and working out the implications for the way we live our lives. Anyway, so Derwent Valley crew, don't lend me a motorbike anytime soon. I'm happy to jump on the back of motorbikes still. Like, I'm not afraid of motorbikes. I think about 3 days later, I made sure I jumped on a motorbike straight away. But that was just me having a prideful man moment where I didn't listen to instructions. This was incredible. This was in Vietnam. These ladies were rowing boats with their feet, which I just thought was impressive. I was like, I struggle enough to row a boat with my arms, let alone doing, I think they were doing like an hour and 15 round trip with their feet. It's like, let's give a round of applause to the Vietnamese ladies that can row a boat with their feet. That's. Can any of you row boats with your feet? Yeah, well, there you go. Next time you're out on the water, give it a whirl. See how you go. Anyway, that was just fun. I just thought it was a really cool photo. That's me and my dad at a waterfall in Vietnam. So my dad came and joined me for like the last 24 days of my adventures. He hadn't left Australia in 36 years. Last time he left, he went to New Zealand to propose to my mum. And then they went to England and Holland to go visit some family. So 36 years ago. So then, yeah, figured it was about time to leave Australia and check out some places. He decided Vietnam was far too hot for him. There was only one place he liked called Dalat, which is like mountainous and where they grow a lot of coffee. A lot of our Nescafe comes from Dalat in Vietnam. So there you go. But they also have some phenomenal roasters and coffee places over there as well. So you've got this cafe, which is like the bulk stuff, but then up in that Dalat region, oh my gosh. I don't think Simon Grubb's here today, but for his birthday, it was Simon Grubb's birthday during the week as well. So make sure you wish him a happy birthday. But got him a bag of Dalat coffee, which I think he had it on his at his music shop for a couple of days. I don't know if he can get it anymore, but nice and tasty. Anyway, there's a little bit of background story about Vietnam. And there's my old man, Henry. And it's his birthday yesterday, so pretty much straight after service. Apologies. I meant to be going out to lunch with my uncle, auntie, and my dad. So I will pretty much say hi to a few people and then run off. This was heartbreaking. So in Vietnam, I didn't want to show you actual photos of some of the other stuff that I saw at the war museum, just because it messed me up. I was in tears in that place. Agent Orange, which was poured on military and just other people just in the process of the Vietnam War, the impact that has generationally, those chemicals are like still creating birth defects in children today, and just some of the photos of the birth defects that children were having, and it messes you up. It's heartbreaking to see that sort of stuff. And off the back of it, they actually had a shop ran by like five guys that were all, well, two guys and three girls that were all affected by Agent Orange. And there was a guy who probably weighed about 25, 30 kilos with the smallest arms and smallest legs that I've ever seen because of the Agent Orange making these little dragonfly like key rings. So I made sure I bought a bunch of them and gave them to my family and told them what it was from. But I think it's so important to actually look at history and the bad things that we've done to actually make sure that if we ever find ourselves in positions of authority or power, that we don't then do the same things so that history doesn't repeat. Let's go to the next photo. This was in Uganda, to feed the children at the Compassion Project. This stuff here is like a giant thing of corn porridge. Tastes really good. It's called Millie. If you get the opportunity to smash down some Millie, it's great because you can use it for both sweet dishes and for savoury dishes. It's a very versatile. It's like mashed potato. You can pretty much only do it savoury, but this one goes well both ways. So winning. Anyway, fun times. There are a couple little monkeys. Does anyone know exactly what type of monkeys they are? That's in Uganda. Black-faced macaws, we'll go with that. Grant said it like he knew what he was talking about, so we'll go with that. I just thought it was cute. I was just like, that little monkey's just adorable. Let's all go, no. Isn't God's creation precious? I tried to get a little bit closer and it started hissing at me. I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit... So, adorable until you get too close. Actually, talking about things getting really close, do we have those videos? Yeah, I want to show you a couple of videos now. So this is the first one. I was at a breeding place in South Africa where they were breeding lions, and I was trying to get the attention of the lion cubs because there were two little cubs looking at me. But then the mother lion came up, and she wasn't happy with me trying to get attention by rustling in the grass. I think we need to turn up the volume.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh my gosh.
So I was literally terrified in that moment. Like, you see little cubs in the distance there. We can pause that one. But like, I was right. I had my phone right up to the fence. I was like, oh my gosh, it's coming up. And then to have it just go, rah! I'm just like, oh my. But moral of the story, if you're ever trying to get the attention of a lioness, make sure you're behind a fence. Because otherwise, it's probably not going to end up well for you. But on the exact same day, so I visited this, it was like a rhino and lion park. So they had these big enclosures where they had like sort of free range, wildish animals. But then they also had some breeding areas like that, that you know, weren't like a zoo, but they were bigger than zoo areas. But yeah, it was a cool way of being able to see some of the big five. But in the morning, I had the experience with a lioness like that. But then in the afternoon, I had the experience with a cheetah that went a little bit like this.
Your tongue is very rough, man. All right, I think that's it for today. Congratulations. Is up. Your tongue is very rough, man. All right, I think that's it for today. Congratulations. Is up.
There you go. So that's a cheetah. I think we've got a photo of the cheetah as well. Her name's Annabelle. So don't tell my cat Lazarus I was cheating on him. that was so funny. thanks. But just that experience getting up close and personal with a cheetah and getting cheetah kisses it was just tasting me. It was just like, is this one edible? cheetahs are the largest cat that can still purr, which is a fascinating thing. So like pharaohs and stuff used to keep them as pets, like giant house cats. If you have a small child, you shouldn't bring them near a cheetah because their natural instinct, like a greyhound, is to chase after small things running. So it was pretty much only adults that were allowed to go see this adult cheetah. Because small people, if they got scared, could trigger the mechanism of their brain to go, "Ooh, run, chase," which would not be a good thing. But yeah, just an incredible experience to get to meet a lioness face to face, and then to meet a cheetah face to face, and very different receptions from those two cats. Suffice to say, I prefer hanging out with cheetahs. Actually, have you guys heard that joke? So I was organizing a poker night with a bunch of cats, you know, like, so I had a lion with me, a puma with me, and a cougar, but we didn't invite the cheetah. Yeah, anyway, sorry. Terrible joke. I can't think of any spiritual things to say about this apart from cheetahs are awesome. You shouldn't gamble. Yeah, there's the biblical connotation with this story. Don't gamble. It's not a good thing to do. All right, what other photos we have? This is me with my two little girls, well, my little girl and my grandma's little girl in Ethiopia. So this is Kanene. Sorry, I've swapped over. This is Kanene and this is Salem. I was about to call one of them Master Well, which is my former child. And I was like, oh no, that's not here. So we've got Salem and Kanene. So Kanene wants to become a doctor. That's her ambition. And Salem, she wants to become a singer. That's what she would like to do with her life. So as Energizer Church, we've partnered with Compassion for a long time and have a lot of people, I reckon, here in the room still probably have partnerships or sponsorships of children in Ethiopia. But it was just incredible to be able to spend time in Ethiopia. Whilst I was there, there was a coup. So the military had sort of risen up a little bit, or the head of the military was trying to orchestrate some things. So they killed him, as you do in African countries at times. And they killed off a couple other high-ranking officials. So whilst I was there, I actually had no internet at all in Ethiopia, which was an interesting experience, because here in Australia, we're probably so used to using smartphones and other things all the time. Internet's just become part of our everyday existence. So to have that completely removed, and where there's a language barrier where I can't speak Amharic and a lot of Ethiopians can't speak English, it made it interesting to spend a whole week in a foreign land. But I shared on last week or the week before how God's love can supersede language barriers and understanding and cultural barriers and stuff like that. So it's amazing, even in those places, connecting with brothers and sisters in Christ and meeting people of peace that I could just love on and connect with, that stuff superseded the barriers that were in place. And probably we don't need smartphones as much as we think. Just saying. I think we've got a couple more. This is her family, and I bought her a little giraffe, which she seemed to really, really love. Kanene was quite fond of that giraffe. We've got a few more photos, and there's a dog from Nepal. I want to create a book called Doggos of Nepal, just because there were like so many dogs just wandering around, and I just like taking cool photos of, like, you know, it's like posing. It's like, yo. So, anyway, so I just thought it was cool. And Cows of India, that's another book. Probably the sequel of Doggos of Nepal. So that's one of the Cows of India. Me with a bunch of the children from one of the orphanages that Pastor Vivek oversights. So Pastor Vivek we have here next week. Incredible man of God. Just his heart to see the gospel move forward in Nepal. So inspiring. Nepal is predominantly a Hindu nation, and they're Buddhists a lot. So they're currently putting in lots of anti-conversion laws as well. So if you're preaching, you can get imprisoned. So even whilst I was there, there were some pastors that were being imprisoned for preaching the gospel whilst I was there in Nepal. And I'm sure Vivek will have more stories of like this when he comes and shares tomorrow. And that's actually sort of what I want to share about. Let's turn the lights up a little bit. We might leave this photo up. It was incredible. So all these children are in the lowest caste. So in this culture, if you were born into poverty, that's where you deserve to be. Because obviously you must have, or some of your family did something really bad in a past life. So therefore in this life, you deserve to be living with nothing and have no hope and no future, which is completely countercultural to that of the gospel, where God knows each and every single one of us. He knit us together. He formed us fearfully, wonderfully in our mother's wombs. He knows the plans he has for us, that he's prepared good works for us to do in advance in Christ Jesus. Pastor Dave shared it a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus wants to do good for you. That's Jesus' heart for us. It's not to crush us under religious expectation or under the weight of condemnation. No, Jesus loves us. And he loves these kids. And to actually go, I think I visited 5 different orphanages with about 12 kids in each one. So they were doing more like home orphanages. They'd build like a big home, get these kids, have like a solid Christian couple, live in the house and parent like 12 kids. And that was sort of the approach that they were doing over there, and helping them get education, just allowing them to be loved. Incredible stuff. So I'm really looking forward to hearing Pastor Vivek next week. But one thing that blew me away whilst traveling across all these different nations is you have, you know, people like these pastors in Nepal, these pastors where if they live for Christ daily, there is the prospect of them being imprisoned for just being obedient to what Jesus taught. And whilst I was traveling both in Nepal, even in Vietnam, I visited a church in Vietnam, and I was chatting to one of the guys there, and he was saying that the couple that head up the movement, on their honeymoon, they went to up to Sapa in Vietnam for their honeymoon, but they were preaching the gospel and they both got imprisoned on their honeymoon. And he's been in prison like 4 times since then in Vietnam, being a communist nation that's exactly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's amazing how both these guys in Nepal, these pastors in Vietnam, and even when I was in South Africa, I in Port Elizabeth, I was going to say Port Sorel, but that's Tasmania, Port Elizabeth, I was there, and I was walking through the town and in this big park area, and this guy wandered over to me with no shoes on, and he was like, you know, you could see that he was like stuff was going on in his life. And I just started chatting to him, and his name was Alan. And Alan had actually crossed the border from Tanzania into Mozambique, from Mozambique down to Port Elizabeth, because he was trying to get all the way down to J Bay where his brother was. Because back in his hometown in Tanzania, it's the country's about 40% Muslim, 40% Christian, 10-15% like ancestral worship sort of stuff. But there's a lot of clashes there. So a big Muslim group came into his town, burnt down all their houses, killed a few people, and he had to flee for his life. And he thought, oh, my brother's in South Africa. I'll get all the way down there and hopefully things will be okay. But he was there in Port Elizabeth and he was asking people for help, but people just kept on walking away. Like, it was like, because he'd had no water, he had no food, he looked like a homeless person, but that's who he was, because his house had been burnt down. No one knew, because no one was taking the time to actually chat to him. But I was trying to be really intentional whilst I was traveling to actually spend time with God each morning. Say, God, if there's people that you want me to chat to, I've got a bit more time and flexibility. I don't need to run to the next appointment. If there's people you want me to chat to, give me opportunities. So I got to meet this guy named Alan. We chatted for about 30 minutes. A couple of times he just hugged me in tears, just with all the stuff that he had been through. I managed to pray with him, bless him with some finances, some food and some water, and help him get on a bus down to J Bay, which was about another, how far is that? Yeah, another couple of hours. So he was on the last leg, but he was just completely, had nothing left in the tank. He was completely wrecked. But I share those last few stories because Jesus in the Gospels, and I'm going to finish on this note, so if I can have the band or the musicians back up, it says, take up your cross and follow me. He said in verse 23 of Luke 9, and he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses, forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you, in some countries of the world, the reality of taking up your cross daily will put you in the face of persecution more than just having people block you on social media or call you an idiot. But they still walk strongly. They still live boldly. They still preach confidently the hope they have in Christ. Why? Because Jesus has radically changed their lives. And I want to encourage us as the church of Tasmania, as this congregation here called Energizer, let's make sure we live boldly for Christ. Because we have brothers on the other side of the world facing persecution much greater than what we will face. Not backing down from the task at hand to be salt and light, to be ambassadors of Christ, to share the confidence and the hope that they have found in Christ Jesus. And they've seen incredible things happen. The church in Iran, the church in China, and these places of immense persecution are the fastest growing churches in the world. Let's make sure that we don't get comfortable and content in just our material possessions, that we lose sight of the eternal task that God has put on his people called the church, to be disciples of his, to love. I'm loving, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go into a series about loving one another. And Jesus said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, by the way you love one another. And I just shared a couple of stories of how I just got to love a couple of people, but how it had incredible impact. And then I then even had Alan about 3 months later, his brother sent me a message on Facebook just saying, thank you so, so much for what you did for my brother. And I was just like, oh. Like, for me, it was like $35 Australian. But for him, it changed. It was, never underestimate the impact of something small done with exceptional love in Jesus' name. Not in your own name, not in your own, this is for myself, look how good I am, but done in Jesus' name can have incredible results.